Does listening to Fresh Air and NPR's news programs ever make you a little anxious? Because there's so much information you want to know or need to know or think you should know. Is there just too much you have to read and watch to keep up? I know I get anxious just thinking about what I have to read for the next edition of our show. That's why I was intrigued by the title of the new book, Information Anxiety. It's written by Richard Saul Werman. He's an architect and graphic designer and author of a series of unusual city guidebooks called Access Guides. He's also redesigned the Pacific Bell Yellow Pages and is working on overhauling TV Guide. So I asked him to talk with us about information anxiety.
Information anxiety is that ever-widening gap between what you think you understand or what you think you should understand and what you actually can take in. And it's recognizable today. Everybody thinks they have it when they read the title of the book, not knowing exactly what it is, because there is this perception, this sort of perception of catastrophe, that there's so much more than you can handle, than you can read, than you can take in. And there's a lot of societal pressures, typically in a cocktail party, where people drop names, drop books, drop ideas, and you have to say, uh-huh, and you don't know what they're talking about. So there's a lot of pressures to think you should be understanding all this stuff because you think it is information. After all, it looks the way you were taught information looks like. The fact is, it doesn't really represent an information explosion, but rather an explosion of non-information, because most of the stuff you hear over the radio, see and hear on television, read in newspapers, isn't understandable.
I have to disagree with you here. I really think there is an explosion.
You don't have to disagree with me.
Well, I will anyways. I think there really is an explosion of information in the sense that, I mean, I subscribe to a lot of magazines that have wonderfully written articles in it that really explain things quite well. And if I had time to read more than the table of contents, I think I'd really benefit by reading this stuff. I mean, there's a lot that I think I ought to know, especially in the job that I do. And it's just impossible to keep up. And I think the problem for me isn't the fact that people aren't presenting information well. The problem is that to really keep up with what's happening in the world and in your life and in the lives of your friends and in the arts, it's virtually impossible. It's exhausting.
Okay, we're apart on that issue because there's substantive evidence of things that I haven't researched, but a lot of psychologists have researched, that the amount of information that you can take in that you're interested in, and in understandable form, they find almost limitless. That doesn't seem to be the human dilemma. The human dilemma is having information in an understandable form that interests us.
Now, one of the things you've done is to reorganize the California Yellow Pages.
Yes, ma'am. I call them the Smart Yellow Pages.
Let me tell you one of my Yellow Page frustrations. When I want to get my hair cut and I have to look up a number, I look under hair. And under hair in the Pennsylvania Yellow Pages, you have hair removing and hair replacement. But if you want to get your hair cut and you're a woman, you have to look under beauty salon. Mm-hmm. Now, beauty isn't the first thing that comes to my mind when I just need a haircut, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I understand the problem, and that's exactly what I overcame in the directories out there. And if you want, I can tell you how we did it.
Yeah, please.
I had exactly the same problem, not with having my hair cut because I cut my own hair, but with things for my automobile, because I lived out there and you need an automobile in California. And I looked under all the headings that had something directly or remotely to do with my automobile. I went through all the headings. There's about 4,000 or 5,000. And I found there were several hundred, about 300. And less than 10% of them started with AUTO. I then looked at the major things in my life, like my house, health and well-being, kids, sports, certain business things. And I realized in these about a dozen big subjects, which have almost all the headings under them. So I put in the front of the directory a 2-page spread on each of these 10 big, big subject areas, in which I listed all the things that had to do with your car. Now, I broke them up so that if it's a 2-page spread on automobile, it has a group of things that have to do with repairs and buying and selling and insurance and legal things and parts and other kinds of vehicles, those kinds of things, so that you, once again, have an easier chance of looking at this kind of open stacks in the library approach. And they're called subject search. So you can look, if you don't know the heading, for instance, if you don't know the how to get your seats fixed or certain kind of electrical equipment or whatever, you can very easily find the heading on those two-page spreads. Now, if it has to do with health and well-being or I forget what beauticians and beauty and things are under, but it's under one of those personal care pages, it's easy to find all the things very easily. You can find it really easily. And it's just a more natural way of looking up something where the alphabet, although you can still find it if you know the heading through the alphabet isn't the only way to find things. We also have little map locator squares so you can find where something is in the city. And that's the third kind of way of organizing information. One is alphabetical. Two is by category, which I just told you. Three is location. Time is the fourth one, so you can find things that are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or you know, strange or unusual hours. So if you're up at 4 a.m, you want to know what's open in the city, what you can do, what you can eat, whether there's movies or a bookstore, you can find what's open 24 hours a day or 7 days a week or Sunday. And the last way, the fifth way of organizing information is hierarchical, and that really doesn't apply to the phone books because you can't really rate things as being the best or the worst because everybody has an even chance to advertise in there.
Another type of guidebook that you've rearranged is the Guide to Cities. And, for instance, they're called Access Guides, and mm-hmm. I've been looking over the New York City mm-hmm. Access Guide. Tell us a little bit about how you wanted to restructure the way city guidebooks are usually laid out.
Well, I wanted to know when I go to a city something just as simple. I want to know where I am and what's around me. I want to go to a museum and see, when I come out of the museum, what's next door or what's around there. Where can I eat? Is there another thing to see, another museum close by? Well, with a standard guidebook, which is primarily organized by category, you have a chapter on hotels, a chapter on restaurants, a chapter on museums. You go into a city, you're at a hotel, you never know. You go to the chapter on restaurants, you don't know what's nearby. You go to a museum, you don't know what else you can see because the arrangement of the information has nothing to do with the fabric of the city. So what we do in our guidebooks or the access guides is we put each entry next to each other as they are in the city. So you might have a page that has a restaurant, a hotel, a shop, a museum, four more restaurants, whatever. Then we color code the type so you can scan through each chapter, each section of the city, and see all the restaurants, all the hotels, all the museums. So it's primarily organized by location, secondarily by category, and there's a tertiary organization because we give 1 to 3 or 4 stars for restaurants and we rate hotels, and that's the organization by hierarchy. Again, I'm only going to the pot to these 5 ways of organizing information, and through different combinations from primary, secondary, tertiary, etc., that's how you go about solving almost every problem, to see which is the way in, which gives you the path into the information that's the clearest.
Explain what the syndrome is that you describe as overload amnesia, because I think I might have it.
Oh, my goodness. I think I don't have my book in front of me. If I did, it's probably worded better than that I'm going to say to you now. You should just probably have my book and read it out of what I say, because the words are better crafted than what I will say.
Is it that you don't remember?
No. I mean, I know it's when you take in taken so much, it seems to be, you take in so much that it pushes everything else out. But I think I have it better crafted in my book. Okay. So yes, I probably don't remember to say it as well as I did it in the book, yeah.
How did you get into this kind of business of organizing information?
Well, I guess I'm a self-starter. I like to do things myself, and I couldn't find anything around that I could understand. And I tend to like high-risk situation, so I just do them myself. There's really no great mystery, and I'm not trying to be cute about it. It really, really does stem from this just strong desire to understand things. I have a singular passion. I'm not well-rounded. I just, every once in a while, something gets me curious. I love watching television, and that's why I'm redoing the TV thing. I travel a lot. I'm doing a new airline guide for airline schedules. It just really comes from my very sort of primitive habits. I love watching the Olympics on television, and I couldn't stand the way they didn't explain them, so I did an Olympic guide to the summer and into the Winter Olympics. It really just comes from the things I want to find out about, and I look around to see if they've been done. If they've been done, I'm sure not going to do it myself, but if they haven't been done, then I decide that I'm going to do a book about it.
What's your favorite reference book, other than the ones you've done?
What's my favorite reference book? Oh, what a good question. Gee, I mean, I do like the Encyclopedia Britannica, but my favorite reference book, I guess my favorite reference book is probably the Daily Newspaper. And it's not a book, I know, but it's it gives me great joy to have that kind of serendipitous paper every day that I can go through and find things that I wasn't looking for. I always find a story that I didn't know was going to be there because you don't can't predict what's going to be in a newspaper every day. In the same way, when I read Business Week, I always find something I never thought would be in there. They'd be writing about something I hadn't heard of. It's that kind of serendipity and discovery that I like. I mean, when I think of Encyclopedia Britannica, I think of the article next to the one that I'm reading, not the one I'm looking for. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's exciting about that. It's always the thing next to the thing that it's my primary search.
Thank you very, very much for talking with us.
Pleasure.
Richard Saul Werman's new book is Information Anxiety. It's published by Bantam.